We undertake a brand new chapter and train of thought in our Sunday morning study together, our study of the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to think deeply today about the real life, literal danger of being discouraged in the ministry that God has given us, whatever ministry that happens to be. Just one verse today. I want to introduce this chapter, and I hope and trust by God's Holy Spirit that this will be very clear as we continue this morning. Let us read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we enter into a time of worship through the proclamation of truth, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do the work of teaching through the broken messenger. We have the treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power would be of God and not of us. Do that work, Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would encourage all of us who are serving in a regular capacity in the body. And for some, perhaps, who would be moved toward a service, that you would do that work as well, dear God. Show them their value, their importance, their place. And I just pray that all of this would be an act of worship. Accept this as an act of worship now. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians is such a glorious, spiritual, profound book in the New Testament. It's often left unread. It's often left unpreached. And that's so unfortunate. 2 Corinthians, among the many themes present in this book, we have before us a manual for anyone who desires to be involved in ministry service for the glory of God. Ministry service. This is God-given, God-gifted service that strengthens, that builds up the church, the body of Christ, and it gives glory, immense glory to God when we serve together. And so when you start introducing this concept in this chapter, you want to start with the goal, as we've talked about for the last 8 weeks, the goal of our salvation is to be conformed to the image of the Son, the Lord Jesus. We've talked about it in progressive sanctification for the last number of weeks. In addition, it is to put the sanctified, progressively sanctified believer into an area of ministry / service so that the church, the body, other people would be built up, strengthened, that we would glorify God. Think about the Apostle Paul with me. Paul received his ministry from God. Paul was set apart to God. Paul was called, he was commissioned to be an apostle to the Gentiles. His ministry was very simple. It was very clear. It was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. It was to start churches. It was to raise up and disciple leaders, elders. It was to lead and feed the flock. New covenant, New Testament truth that was revealed to him by divine revelation, which you now hold in your hand as the epistles of Paul. A subplot in 2 Corinthians that I've been trying to bring out for you these last number of months is the autobiographical nature of how difficult ministry / service is in a world that is full of people who hate the truth. They hate the church. They hate Christians. They hate Christ. And they hate anyone who desires to serve Christ. And how the enemy of God, the literal enemy of God, inspires literal attacks on ministry and service in the church. This can cause unimaginable discouragement. I have been there. Some of you have been there. Where you have faced literal ministry discouragement to the point where you've said, I can't do this anymore. I can't continue it. It's too heavy. It's too debilitating. It's too disheartening. You felt the battle for truth waging to the point where you can't take any more of the intensity and the blood and the guts and all of that. The reality of ministry, the reality of service in a world that hates Christ, that hates the church, that hates Christians. Some of you have experienced discouragement as I have in the ministry in this last year with all of these COVID restrictions and fear, and it's just been difficult to see churches all over the country literally cease to be the church. There were weeks, there were moments, there were meetings where I felt like we were ceasing to be the church here. And it brought me to the point of saying, God, if there's someone who's better equipped, better able, bring them and remove me. That's the reality of ministry. Paul was there in 2 Corinthians 4. This real literal discouragement, it prevents some from continuing on in the ministry. And this reality prevents some from ever beginning a life of ministry for the glory of God. And when you think about this, as we continue to introduce this subject, I want you to just go deep with me today on this subject. Ministry / service for the glory of God. We still wear the grave clothes of Roman Catholicism in our Protestant and our Bible-believing church circles. We still often think that ministry is only for the priest or the pastor. And ministry is for the one who has a title or an education or a degree or an ordination. The Bible presents ministry. The Bible presents service for every single believer in the Lord Jesus. Ministry is for every single Christian. And at some level, it's absolutely fair to say, and this is a sub-point in 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians for that matter, the Christian life, all of the messages we just did on progressive sanctification, the Christian life, Christian living, the body life of the Christian in the church, none of this really will make sense to you until you understand the concept of ministry / service. The Bible says, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. What does that mean? Well, that means that the Holy Spirit is given to every believer, and every believer has a spiritual skill set to serve God, to strengthen someone else who is a believer in the church. And your service, your ministry, starts in the body of Christ. And this ministry that you have been given is by God's mercy. Look at that phrase with me in 2 Corinthians 4:1. It is by God's mercy. Nobody deserves to stand and minister for the glory of God, whether it's a speaking ministry, a teaching ministry, a preaching ministry, or just a ministry of helps and waiting on tables and waiting on people. No one deserves that. I think this is a concept that people don't grasp. The same way we don't deserve to be forgiven of our sins because of the magnitude, the egregious nature of our violation of God's law, we don't deserve to be able to enter into the work of God's service. Paul explained it this way in 1 Timothy 1:12. God showed mercy to me, putting me into His service. I was formerly a blasphemer. Well, that's me. And that's you. It's difficult to understand, beloved, New Covenant truth, the epistles. It will be impossible to understand 2 Corinthians if this concept of ministry / service is not part of your Christian thought process, because this epistle is written in the context of Paul's life as a servant, a minister of the Word of God. And he's interacting with what? The attacks, the discouragement, the despair, the heartache, the hatred that comes to the minister, the servant, as a result of this war that wages in the lives of people and in the church for the truth. And so, ask God this morning as we continue. The same way we concluded last Lord's Day on our subject of progressive sanctification, I made appeal to everyone just to ask God to show you where you need to go to war with sin and present yourself to God as an instrument of righteousness. And there was so much good, encouraging feedback as a result of that. I'm so thankful for you that came to me and wrote and mentioned that had an impact. That glorifies God when we deal with those subjects related to our personal holiness. In the same way, this morning, think with me. I'm going to ask you to humble yourself before God. And for some of you, you need to say, God, He's right. The pastor's right. And he's not telling me anything that's untrue. He's telling me the truth today. And the Holy Spirit's giving affirmation to the truthfulness of this message. And I've been given a spiritual set of gifts. And I need to apply them. I need to use them in the body of Christ for someone else, for the glory of God. God, would you show me what that might be for me? And I fully and totally realize there's a huge number, a good percentage of people here today, and for years and decades, maybe longer than I've been in the ministry, you've been in the ministry. Praise God for you. Praise God for you. But for others, this has never really connected. This principle of serving God in the body, in the church, so that someone else here would be strengthened by what you do for them. God would be glorified by what you're doing. And for some, you have to say, God, what is my spiritual skill set? Do I have a speaking gift? Do I have a teaching gift? Do I have an evangelism gift? Do I have an encouragement gift? Do I have a faith gift? Do I have a giving gift? Am I just here to wait on someone's table and clean up their dirty dishes? But whatever it is, every gift is valuable, every gift is equal, every gift is God-given, and every gift exercised in humility gives glory to God. And you have a gift and a set of spiritual abilities, and God wants you to use them for someone else in the body. And for those of us engaged in ministry, that big group of us today who have said yes to this and we get this, for those of us who are engaged in ministry as a life pattern and practice, I want you to hear the words of verse 1. Go back and look at 2 Corinthians 4:1 with me. Please, and this ministered to my soul during the week, do not lose heart. For those of you who are ministering, serving as a pattern of life, you're giving your body as a living sacrifice, please don't lose heart. It's one Greek word, it's a fascinating word, engekao. It means to not give in to fear, it means not to lose hope, It means not to become discouraged. It means not to throw in the towel. It became the word in Paul's day of not behaving like a coward in the face of adversity. Because real ministry, real service in Paul's day and today, you'll face adversity. You'll face opposition. It'll be a struggle. And real ministry, as you begin to read the New Testament, it's not for the weak. It's not for the half-hearted. It's not for the vacillating. It's not for people who are swayed by public opinion or the views of the majority in our culture. Ministry is for the believer on the Lord Jesus who has died to self and sees Jesus as Lord and believes that heaven is real and believes that we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and our works on earth as a believer will be evaluated. Ministry is for those who understand and grasp the principle that I serve God because Jesus is my Lord and I am His bondslave, I am His servant. Real ministry, let me just remind you, it will be a struggle. Because you're opposing the world and the flesh and the devil. You're trying to do God's work in a world that hates God, the things of God, the Word of God, and the people of God. And even inside the walls of a true church, a good church, you will experience difficulty and struggle in your service. Someone will not be happy with your ministry, your service, and this is unimaginably disheartening and discouraging. You will face that if you say yes to ministry. This is what's coming. Paul was living it. You won't be the first one to live it. Paul was living it. You're going to live it as well. And the summary of verse 1, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we don't lose heart. We don't give in to fear. We don't give in to doubt. We don't behave like cowards. We're not the weak. We're not the vacillating. We go forward. We keep the faith. We cross the finish line. Now, I want to show you a couple examples of this that will fill in some of these blanks. Look at Galatians 6 with me. I want to just spend the rest of our time, if you would be so kind. Let me illustrate this from Galatians chapter 6. All of that is an introduction to 2 Corinthians 4. But in addition, the Apostle Paul writes about this and illustrates this in Galatians chapter 6. So we're going to close here. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. I'll just spend a couple moments here in Galatians 6, 7 through 9, and then we'll be finished this morning. Such a delightful, edifying passage. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. The agricultural principle, isn't it delightful? It's never far from the pages of the Bible. It's never far from the lips of Jesus. It's never far from the Apostle Paul. The agricultural principle of sowing and reaping. Boy, it's universal, isn't it? It's universal in life. It's universal in work. It's universal in marriage and family. And it's supremely universal in Christian life and Christian ministry and Christian service. And Paul is appealing to this principle. And when you think about ministry/service, as Paul is reflecting on this in Galatians and in 2 Corinthians and all through his epistles, 1 Corinthians, Romans 12, when you think about this, I totally understand and grasp this principle. It's so very easy to let someone else do all of the spiritual work and all of the spiritual sowing. And it's very, very easy to say, quite frankly, no to spiritual service and spiritual sowing. In fact, in our culture, we have built in a number of convenient reasons why we can say no. And people are very quick to appeal to those. And there's nobody in this room who understands better than your pastor today how easy it is to be a spectator in the life of the church and in the things of God. I did that for the first number of years of my Christian life. And I sat and I did nothing for anybody. And I just took everything in for myself. Didn't give back to anybody. For years I did that. Until these principles of Scripture were brought to bear and the Holy Spirit started to convict me and make my ears burn and my heart burn. And God was saying, you need to find out what you can do to serve someone else instead of just taking and taking and taking. So I'm not judging anybody. I was there. I know what that's like. Paul is using this axiom, this principle. It's tremendous. And we started here last week in Romans chapter 6. When a professing believer is not sowing spiritual activity in their life, that vacuum is filled by sowing fleshly activity in their life. It's the agricultural axiom. It's the agricultural principle that Paul is bringing to bear. When the members of your body, in Romans 6, Paul explained it this way, when the members of your body are not being used as instruments of righteousness, the members of your body then are being used as instruments of unrighteousness. It's just the logical principle. It's the syllogism of agricultural principles. And when there is no sowing of spiritual things, when there is no spiritual service, when there is no ministry, that vacuum of life, the time, the effort, the passion, that vacuum will be filled by sowing for self. The flesh, the world, the devil. And the eternal life, look at verse 8, the eternal life there isn't simply confined to life in heaven. Oh, indeed, it includes life in heaven, praise God. In a glorified body, enjoying the presence of Christ, eternal life, praise God. But when you read eternal life in the New Testament, the writer is also speaking of a quality of life for you, believer, on earth. And the greatest quality of life for us together as believers is when we manifest and sow spiritual seed in service for the glory of God. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 applies so well to this subject. Look at it. Do not lose heart in doing good. You could translate that, don't lose heart in serving. Don't lose heart in sowing spiritual things. Don't lose heart in ministry. For in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. Let's just close with some practical words on what this is. What are we talking about? Many people, you know them, they're gifted and they're justified and they're born again. And they have a spiritual skill set that I couldn't have in a million years. They can do things I could never do for the glory of God. But they have no ministry. They have no service. Or others started out well. They discovered their spiritual gifts. They served God. They applied themselves. But they've lost heart along the way. They've stopped sowing spiritual seeds, spiritual ministry, because they did not receive some immediate positive result or reward or personal affirmation. And this is a huge foundational element to sowing spiritually and serving God in general. What's the principle? Don't miss it, please. If you say yes to this and you're doing this today, or you're going to say yes to this in the future, and you really begin a life of sacrifice in ministry and in service, try not to miss this principle. You're not going to get an immediate positive result that you can count or quantify. That is rare. Some people have that. They have that blessing. Some people in ministry, everything they touch just turns to gold, and everything, you know, everyone gets saved and everyone gets sanctified and everyone gets baptized. I mean, those people are few. For most of us, we say yes to ministry, and there's very little result. And it's the hardest part of serving. It's the hardest part of ministry. Sometimes you feel like it's not doing any good. All the effort, all the sacrifice, all the prayer, giving your life as a living sacrifice, when you could be doing something else with your time, your effort, your energy, your passion, but you haven't done that, and you're serving God, and it doesn't seem like there's increase. It doesn't seem like there's a result. You've been there. And you say, what's the point? Why am I doing this? It's hard. No one cares. And there's no result. Welcome to ministry. That's what it is. Paul understood ministry. And so the Bible is teaching here, in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. This is a tremendous parallel passage related to 2 Corinthians 4:1. Since we receive this ministry, we do not lose heart. And we live in an age, we live in a time where every single minister in ministry, whether it's a preacher or a servant, every ministry today is evaluated by numbers, counting bodies. And if people can count to 1 to 100, that's as far as they can go spiritually. And so if you have 100, you get an A. If you have 50, you get a C. If you have less than 10, you get a D. You know, if you have less than 5, you get an F. But real ministry is never evaluated by numbers. Real ministry is never evaluated in such a simplistic way. The godliest men to ever live, the godliest men to ever minister, have had little tangible outward evidence. And it will be so in your ministry as well. But God in His sovereign plan gives us the privilege of being in His ministry, in His service. And God in His sovereign plan gives some a great overflowing harvest. But for others, we're just sowers of seed, tillers of the ground, pullers of weeds. And God in His sovereignty gives different ministers and ministries varying levels of breath. But the promise of ministry is the same for all ministers. Let us not lose heart. In due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Let's pray. Dear God, as we introduce this subject in 2 Corinthians 4, I pray this would be a foundational message as we go forward, and we think about Paul's life as a pastor, as an apostle, as a preacher, as one who discipled. Let us learn the lessons of 2 Corinthians 4:1. Let us not lose heart as we've received mercy. Let us learn the principle of Galatians chapter 6. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. I pray Your precious people today, dear God, would have heard You speak to them. And dear God, move someone today to inquire of You what they can do as a lifelong ministry in the body of Christ to build up the church, to build up another believer, and to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand as we close.